Good morning, church.
Good morning.
My name is Paul, and I'm the director of the EGAT project, working for the Lord. It wasn't always that way. I stand here as evidence, testimony of the great God we serve and His mercy and His grace. So, in case there's anybody here, just say, do not get discouraged, okay? I also stand here as evidence of the transformation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? I'm going to give you a quick story, my story, quickly. I'm going to make this quick because I've done this. But I'm going to let you know where I come from and why I've got such a passion for this work that I do. Despite my accent, I was actually born in London, in Hackney. My parents separated when I was six. My mum was a Christian, my dad, he liked the ladies, my dad didn't. My mum walked out of the marriage at 6 years of age. At the age of 10, I was moved to Wolverhampton, where my mum met a big wife. And as soon as I got to Wolverhampton, I went off to Wales. At the age of 13, I was caught in the back of a stolen car, and I was taken to court, and there was a big case at the time, with 17 of the Crown Court, and I was the youngest person there, I was 13. And they left me to last the sentence for sentencing. And he came to me and he just said, you know what, this lad's got no discipline in his life, he's got no authority. He doesn't do as he's told, he doesn't go to school. He's from a broken home, put me in care. And so they put me in care and I thought, hang on. Now I'd seen all the guys before me and they'd been given like 6 months, I think the biggest sentence was 12 months. And they wanted to put me in care until I was 18 years of age, and I thought that was a bit unfair. You know, I did the maths quickly, and I thought, you know what, that's not right. I was just putting them back in the stolen car. So they put me in a police car, and they took me to Birmingham, to a children's home, and I jumped out the window. And I made my way back to Wolverhampton. So I'm now 13 years of age, I'm undergoing, and I'm living on the streets of Wolverhampton. I quickly fell in with a group of guys, and what they was involved in was drugs. So at the age of 13, I've got involved in drugs and I'm injecting drugs, living on the streets at the age of 13. I'm going to fast forward now with funders. I'm now 19 and I've gone through the youth offending system. I've gone through the youth offending system as in the prisons and prisons in Boston. And, you know, some short shop pickers, Boston, detention centre, etc. I'm 19 and I've come out of a sentence and I now think I'm a big man. You're not at 19, but you think you are. And the youth offending system quite toughened me up, you know, quite hard on me. And I came out and I started a gang. I started a gang in Wolverhampton that gets in very notorious and it got involved in all the stuff that gangs get involved with today. Guns, violence, and drugs. In my 20s, I became a drug dealer, big drug dealer, important drugs. In my 30s, I then progressed to armed robberies. In my 40s, I'm now committing any crime that it took to feed my addiction. Okay? I was a drug addict from the age of 13 until the age of 50. Okay, the good Lord delivered me from 37 years of addiction. I'm not talking about the little drug experimenting, I'm talking about hardcore drug addiction. I was a drug dealer, I had drugs around me all the while, I used copious amounts of drugs, and also, for me, it softened the kind of lifestyle I was living. It's with drugs, you know, you're not in reality. You know, you don't face very few drugs, it makes everything easy. You know, and it blinds you, it totally blinds you. So I was in addiction for 37 years. In 2007, you can do the maths on 57, I was born in 1960. So in 2007, I'm in prison. All throughout my prison sentence, I use drugs, hard drugs. Every prison sentence I did, I use drugs. Prisons would hate when I came in there because they knew I was good at the prison drugs. Okay, the only people in there, sorry, I would get drugs into the prison. No matter how, I would get drugs into that prison. So I'm now 47 and I'm increasing the Winston Green. I'm on the long term wing because I've done a notorious prisoner as well, and I've done the security wing. And one day I'm going to myself, I'm not going to prison and I get to buy one. Now my mum's a Christian, I think about that, my mum's a Christian, but my mum's never preached to me. You know, every now and again she'd say, you know what, all the Bible says, and she'd go up and say something, and I'd say, shut up, I don't know. He's done nothing for me, I don't know. And she'd just carry on and say what she's saying, and that would be easy. She'd quote a little scripture, and she'd quote a little scripture. But I used to look at my mum, and she used to have power groups and prayer groups, and I used to watch my mum, and she had such a peace about her. And I used to think, you know what, I'd give anything for that peace. You know, and she'd never let anything phase her, and I'd see her singing, to be in the kitchen singing gospel songs, and to let everything go over her head. Now, bearing in mind, I brought on police, my mum's house was very good, door locked off, had me times, this and that, and she'd never let me go, you know, never let me go, and she had such a peace about her. So, I'm in my prison cell, I'm thinking, why not? I started at Matthew, I got to Matthew 9:13, and it's where Jesus is sitting there at the table with tax collectors and various people that they that he shouldn't have been with. And they're around, you know, the people, the Pharisees are bringing around and they say, you know, if that's the Messiah, if that's the Son of God, why is he sitting here with all those people, all those sinners and all those people? Jesus knows exactly what they're thinking. Excuse me, being Jesus. And he turns around and he says, this is Matthew 9:13, by the way, and he turns around and he says, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, the same word of the living word, believe you me, it is, that word struck me, totally struck me. I read it, and I thought, my God, you know, and it took me, and I've only described what I've had as a domestic sort of experience. The scale fell off my eyes. I got on my knees, I made my life to Christ here and then. I said the sinner's prayer. I had a Vivian boy who was the sinner's prayer every day, about 2 weeks, and I said the sinner's prayer, my life to Christ. And I look actually, when I think my life is open, it's open. I actually look back at the life I've been living and I thought, my Lord, you know, I can't believe the life I've led. So now, I've now become a Christian, I've been quite serious. And for the first time in my whole life, I admitted and I realised I was an addict, a drug addict, and a bad person, a wicked person. That testimony I'll just give you is the nice version. Okay, believe me on that one. I was a wicked, bad, horrible piece of work. I really was. So I've now become a Christian and I've been quite serious. I've seen their life and I didn't like it. And I've heard about an organisation called Key Challenge. I've got some books and some information in the back. I heard about an organisation called Key Challenge, a Christian organisation. I've now become a Christian, I took it serious. And I wanted to be amongst Christians. Okay, I wanted to fellowship, I wanted to grow, I wanted to learn. And I heard of a Christian organisation called Teen Challenge. I walked out of prison in 2010. 1 week before my 50th birthday, and I walked into Teen Challenge. I was the first in there, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Teen Challenge made prison look like a job. Okay? For the first time in my life, I had to go into discipline, authority, and everything they show you is to the Bible. Okay? The discipline in there is quite unbelievable. You know, it's a very strict. And I had a long problem because you get putbacks for bad behaviour. And they always tell you that I was like the worst resident they ever had through the door. Because I had a lot to deal with. You know, I've been in addiction and crime in darkness for like 50 years, I was 50 years of age. But I came through, you know, the Lord did a work on me. I did a 2-year program and it got to the end of the program, it's now 2012. And the director, gentleman named Javier, called me in his office and said, okay, Paul, he says, you've gone through your program. He said, I don't mind telling you, you're the worst resident I've ever had. He says, you know, you've come through and the way you've changed. He says, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? And I says, I says, all my life, what I've done is take. I'd like to give something back. And he said, well, that's good. He says, because I've been waiting for a person to start the gangs industry because Teen Challenge actually started with gang members in the 50s. There's a great book in the back, what's available, and it started in the 50s with gang members in New York. But when it came to this country, in the 70s, in the 80s, there was not a gun problem in this country. Okay? The problem, being a ministry, we gear our resources to the problems, and at the time, the problems in the 80s in this country was addiction, was drug addiction. Okay? And so, Team Change being a ministry, it geared its resources towards addiction. Hence, me going through the Team Change ministry. And he said, you know what, he says, you know, I'm doing nothing new. He says, I've always wanted to bring King Challenge back to its roots. He said, we've now got a massive gang problem in London. When I was actually on the programme, the last riots took place, which is the worst riots ever seen in Europe. And since the 90s, this gang problem has grown and grown and grown. So in 2012, he began to birth. And I thank you, Lord, bless the head of that ministry. So I'm going to show you a DVD, I'm going to show you a video. This video is going to explain some of the work that Egan does. And then we'll come back and give you a bit further explanation on the work that we do, and then you'll get a few testimonies from our workers. Thank you.
Egan's is a fantastic ministry that is working with gangs in and around London, and Egan's has had significant influence in helping gang members escape gang life. I've seen the fruit of what the ministry of Egan's does, and I wholeheartedly support this ministry. It really is changing lives, and I would recommend anybody who is watching this, if you're considering supporting this ministry, don't hesitate. Because it is good work and good service.
Yeah, I know what we're doing as well. I see them break doors, I see them stab people. You know, I tried to get out of it, but it wasn't happening. One day I was thinking about staying in the court, in the hospital. What's what it has been?
go through this kind of situation, and these things were going for a really long time without my knowledge. And recently I found out, since we contacted the deacons, that what kind of problem he has and what he's been through. And for me it was like really, really hard and very stressful, especially when we go out from the house. I don't even know what he's doing, because in the house I know what kind of child he is, but once he moved out from the house, I don't even know what he's doing, especially if you're working, if you don't have anyone to support you. But really hard, and but with the deacons, I find them really helpful, because they don't only support the child, they support the family as well. So I'm really, really like supporting. It's really hard and really difficult. And I've been through lots and a really stressful time. And every time there's no doctor, like someone come, I feel like something is going to come, like they're going to tell me bad news. So I have to. Especially the first time in my memory. It seems that like 4 times. I'm going to stick this alive, but I'm sure I'll be even more than later. So. He's looking forward to be someone else.
Christian ministry. Okay, our Christian ministry encompasses all our workers of the Christian faith. We are faith-based, not faith-based. We work with any young person that wants to be raised up, regardless of religion, we do not care. Our motto at E-Gangs is love never fails. It's scriptural, we stand on the Bible, we stand on scripture in all the work that we do. We offer help in the following areas: housing. We offer help with housing, we offer help with employment. We have a lot of employees now that will give us jobs for ex-offenders, regardless of the background. We offer training and we offer education. We have a mentoring program designed and tailored for the individual. At the E-Gangs Project, we do not believe one size fits all. We know each person is a total individual, and what works for Peter might not work for Paul. So he has an individualized care package and a worker that will work with him. We don't stop and change workers. He has one worker that will work with him and so into him. Okay? We work with the police. I never thought I'd ever say that. We work with the police, the probation, the defending team, and social services. We work in the schools. We work with the crews, that's the people with field units. We have our in-reach and the other outreach program. Okay, I'm not an evangelist. I do not preach. We do not preach to our children. We believe in the spirit of love never fails. We believe actions speak louder than words. Okay, we really do. I don't try and push these folks. When I meet with my young people, I let them know. They always ask me about myself, I don't know where I've come from, and they will always say to me, "Paul, so what made you change?" Then I can come and say, "Oh, Jesus Christ." Okay, it's my job, it's our job that he gets to introduce Christ. We believe the Holy Spirit will do the rest. If we can get a young man into a church, such as this one, a good church, even though he's not going to feel alienated, and we can empower him, and we can send this young man back into his community through exactly what we're doing, then all glory to God and better. We didn't get success in this, but as I said, it is not our job to force Christ out, but we introduce Christ. That's quite important to us. All our work is at the games. Are from a crime criminal background, okay? So we do not judge, okay? We look at our children and their family. All the children that we've worked with, or children or young people we have worked with, we don't have a set program. We would say, right, you work with us for 6 months or 12 months or whatever. You work with us until you feel ready to leave, okay? God's opened doors for you guys, okay? We've had a lot of success. The young man you saw talking on the DVD, he's now working in Switzerland as a financial advisor. This young man here, he came to some gangs, he's now a pastor in Chelmsford. Works with social services and child sexual exploitation. This young man here, Kyle, he came to us from Hackney when he's 12 years of age. He's now 17. And we got my job in the city last month. Okay, we're only just getting work, he's 17 and I've got something to take him on. This is quite important. We've had successes, yes. I have done nothing, really nothing. Okay, God has opened every door and he's even pushed us through. And that's the truth. Every contact, every single thing I've got that has been given to me and devoted to me. I believe. But I know, and I believe, I know what's going on in the streets right now. This is spiritual warfare. Okay, this is spiritual warfare for the soul of our children. And that's why the police, probation, youth offenders, that's why they make no difference. This problem, believe you me, belongs first and foremost to the church. These are our children. Okay, it's about us to pray for this. It's about the church to go out there and make a difference. You, no matter who you are, you can make a difference in some way. Whether it be prayer, whether it be such a saint or a young person or old, you know what, Jesus loved you. You know how many people like that have been saved by those little words, Jesus loved you. You know what I say to your neighbour, or even send some of my cards and say, no, son, phone this number, you can help. There's somebody here today and you've got a family member, you know somebody that can use our organisation. We come to you. We work with family, we work with parents, spouses, we come to you. We are quite aware of this post-Cold War that's going on. Okay, you know, we are aware of safeguarding. So if you refer anyone to us today, for instance, we will come to him. And if this young person wants to change, believe you me, we will pour every resource we have got into this young person to effect change. Okay? And this is all our workers that come from an offending background and have been transformed by the power of Christ. So we do not judge. Can you imagine me judging anybody? Okay. One of our workers, well, I've got three workers here, all these three are our workers, just five runners. You can't hear all three testimonies, so just pick one at random, so you can hear the type of people that died. When I tell you I've done nothing, God has gave me every single thing, why that my workers? Okay? I'm going to give Daniel this morning. Daniel's one of our workers, he's got a great future, and then Daniel's just going to tell you a little bit about himself. Thanks, Daniel.
Wow, some more transfixed with Paul's testimony. I love hearing it. So the Lord's really worked miracles in my life, and it's just by His grace and His mercy that I'm still here, standing to be able to talk about what He's done. So I'll start off with where I was brought up in South London. In fact, I was born in Tooting, St George's Hospital, which I think must be quite near here, as you drive through Mitchell. I was brought up in South London, and I'm an only child, had good parents, went to a good school, but that was all meaningless because there was something lost inside me that I couldn't really fill with things that other kids were doing. So at the age of about 11, I had a friend, I was getting involved in what he was doing, and he was smoking a lot of weed and stuff like that. And I got really, really used to doing the same sort of things. But I took it to another level. I started inviting in the drug far more than he did, and I got involved in cannabis cultivation aside from everyone else. And eventually I started having to answer to some quite serious people in London that, unbeknownst to me, had just taken advantage of my naivety as a 16-year-old kid at the time, and that I was prepared to do whatever and didn't really think about consequences. That was beneficial to them. But yeah, they were quite serious people, and I was cultivating the cannabis to actually support my use of cannabis. It was nothing to do with sort of benefiting anyone else, it was just for me. But my point was, is around that time I also got involved with other drugs. Because of that emptiness in me, cannabis was never going to be enough. And I started filling it with other recreational drugs, and I opened up things, you know, I opened myself up to things that are really, you know, if I can't even put my finger onto the day, but I pushed it to a limit again, and started imbibing in these drugs to the point where I just couldn't really think straight and I couldn't cultivate the cannabis anymore. I developed an extreme sense of paranoia, and I couldn't cope with reality around me. I just lost grip of everything. And one of my friends said to me, you know, there is something that would help you with that. And I always refrain from saying he introduced me to heroin, because there was a campaign at that time called Just Say No, and I knew what heroin was. But the problem was with me. Because I knew what it was, and I knew that's what he was offering me, my instinct was, I want that. It wasn't a problem. I knew what it would do, but I thought, well, you know, it is what I want. I want to be as comfortable as possible. When I tried it, I was happy with that. That was the drug for me, and I started using that alongside crack cocaine. I'm going to start fast-forwarding a bit now. So that was at the age of 16, and after a couple of years, I couldn't fund that habit anymore at all. And I went out into the streets in my local area and said to some of the other drug users in the area, you know, can you please help me, because I've got an addiction that I cannot control here, financially at all. They said, okay. I said, you need to show me what you do to earn money. And I didn't care, because I knew they were all criminals. And I just thought, you know, anything, please. Because I'd exhausted every sort of supply that I could think of. And these guys showed me how to thieve, how to rob, how to intimidate as well at some points, and manipulate situations, did some really nasty things. But I can speak freely about that now, because I know the Lord's forgiven me. And what happened is the police started to get very used to me. In fact, I could walk down the street and the cameras would actually acknowledge me sometimes by nodding up and down, and I'd just wave back and go, yeah, all right. I had to travel out of the areas and things like that to commit crimes, and my life became, it consisted of crime and then prison. Crime and then prison. By the age of about 24, 25, I was committing crimes up to 4 or 5 times a day and spending ridiculous amounts of money and injecting crack and heroin. And I thought I was cut out for that life, and I didn't want anyone to tell me any different. Right, by the time I was 39, I'd been into prison 42 separate times, and it had become an occupational hazard for me, and I thought that this is my life, this is my way of living. And the Lord had better plans for me. And my mum, who's a praying mum, and I am the product of prayer, as all the guys from E-Games, my mum said to me, you know, I've been praying that at least by the time you're 40, you'll be in a position you can sound mind and be able to maybe encourage other people. And so that's the power of prayer, because I'm right here standing now as evidence of that. But what happened was my mum introduced me to Paul. Through a mutual friend, and I met a guy there that I could relate to, because I felt isolated in that no one really was the same as me. I pushed it to a level that they hadn't, so I couldn't be helped because of that. But actually that wasn't true, that's just all a big lie. When I spoke to Paul, I felt a tremendous sense of freedom just by talking to him, thinking, well, there is hope for me. And that is absolutely what happened, because he referred me to the Teen Challenge Rehabilitation Program, and right now the Lord's working miracles in my life, because I've been there for 11 months. I've been working alongside E-Games and being able to give back, because that's all I want to do. And it's wonderful. I've got a whole future open for me now, just through God working through E-Games. It's a wonderful ministry. And so I'll give all the glory to God, and thanks very much for listening.
You've got a great future, Daniels. Daniel was just been there. I'm going to elaborate on it. He said he's the product of a praying mother. My mum was on her knees and prayed for me for 50 years. I don't say that lightly. 50 years. When I gave up on myself, when everybody else gave up on myself, God and my mum never gave up on me. If somebody's sitting there today, you've got a family member, and you think, you know what, it's too late for you. Too late for Johnny. He's never been through. What's his thing? Okay, my mum and my dad, she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. There's nothing more powerful than prayer. Okay, it's not a gift. It's not a fruit. It's a birthright. Okay? The most powerful thing we have as Christians is prayer. Please pray for your families, for your children, and especially the lost ones. Okay, that's really important that I say that. So he tells me, because time's on us, we weren't giving on today, and we were expecting to take leave session this afternoon, but that's through illness, that's been cancelled. But in closing, we do these presentations, you know, around the country, because as you said, we do believe that the church is the answer to this problem. When we give these presentations, I'd like to let the church know the vision, the E-Gang's vision. Now, the one thing I've identified since we're young people, the most difficult thing I get, now that first started, it seems to be, wasn't as hard as it is now, but the hardest thing I come across is housing. When housing in London, I've never known anything like it, trying to get a young person housed in London, okay? Now, I remember, you know, the most powerful thing in, if you really want to change, implement change in a young person's life, okay, then you've got to remove them from the environment. You really have. When I came out of prison in 2010, when I became a Christian, the first thing I identified was that I could not go back to Wolverhampton. Because everybody I knew in Wolverhampton was a criminal, was involved in crime, was a drug addict. As soon as I got out, my door would be knocking left, right, and centre. Okay? I'm in church, what, 2 hours on a Sunday. And then the rest of the week, my door would be knocking with all my old friends in the solitary. So I'd have a sleeping drawer back in the whole life. Okay? Now I'm going to have a Christian I've become. So the first thing I did for it, well, you know what, Paul, if you really want to give yourself half a chance, get out of Wolverhampton. And I came straight back to London. I came back because we came back to London, and I've been here since. Okay? That was 2010. The most success I've had, all those stories you've heard, those guys, I've took them and I've moved them and I've housed them out of the area. Could me seeing a young man for 2, 3, 4 hours a week, and then his mates knocking his door for the other 200 and whatever, what chance have I really got? It's going to be hard. But if I can move him, I'm not talking about the other side of the country, London's a big place, if I could just move him, and then start something, get into employment or training or education, then I've got a chance. What I'm trying to say to you here is housing is my biggest problem. Now, the great Martin Luther King says that I have a dream, I think I have a dream, and that dream is to provide housing. We want a house in every major city in this country. A house, like a halfway house for XFL young people, a Christian house, similar to the challenge, but not a program. Okay, a house where people can work and maybe implement the gospel and some Christian training and the discipline of authority and rules and fellowship and love. Most important, love. Okay? You know, my whole life, For the first time, when I walked into King's Chapel for the first time in my whole life, I had a man come to me, director, and he turned around to me, and I first walked in. The first time he said, he came to me, he called me, he said, "What are you?" I thought, "Sorry, let's go." Next time I saw him about a week later, I said, "Hey, come, give me a big hug," he said, "What are you, bro?" Where have I come from last time I did that? After about 6 months, we've been doing it. I've been here like 7 years. And I thought, you know what, for the first time in my life, a man told me that he loved me, and there was no agenda, no ulterior motive. He wanted nothing to return with the love of Jesus Christ. And I responded to that. And that's why that's on my tongue. Okay? So, in closing, we asked a few things at our meditation. We asked a prayer. Like I told you earlier, it's more powerful than the other discussion. That's a prayer. So, in the beginning, things that you keep us in prayer, we appreciate that. Anyone that would like to get involved with vegans, we're a bit far from you, but if you want to volunteer, we'll see if you really want to volunteer and you're prepared, which I doubt, it's not a problem, to travel to Ilford. We'll take the details and we'll see what we can do. So, that's what volunteer is. And last of all, for £5, you can get, this is the book. Now this is, I'm not, this ain't the sales pitch here. The most powerful book I've read in this book here. This tells the story of the challenge, okay, about the gangs and how the ministry, this whole ministry started. For £5, you can get a copy of the book, or you can sub it to our ministry and you can see it at the back. Thanks ever so much for listening to this book.